not because he didn't know God. He fled because he believed God, not because he disbelieved God. For I know that you are gracious and merciful, a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. So when the next time a person says they're running away from God because they are Jonah, we got two questions to ask them. Wait a minute, do you know God like Jonah knew God? Say who? Who? What? Which? Then cancel. Number two, do you run because you believe what God said, or you couldn't believe it, so you don't want to obey God? And we will find that many of them who use Jonah's name in vain do not qualify to be a Jonah. Praise God. From this day forward, you can christen your children Jonah. Not bad for a name. Just because of one tiny little story that spawns such a nice name to be used. I still have not come across a few other names like Jonah, Habakkuk, and few interesting ones. Waiting for baby to name. And or Agabus, that's another one. Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, as he ran away, the storm came, and Jonah was very honest. He told the people that the reason this happened, he says in verse 8 and verse 10, verse 9 and 10, 8, 9, 10, says, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord. And verse 10, the men who were there were frightened. They say, what have you done? For they knew he tried to run from the presence of God. And Jonah says in verse 12, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and you will be safe. And the men were also God-fearing. Although they don't really know God, they were God-fearing. They were afraid that they would kill an innocent life. And they begged God for mercy. But the moment Jonah went into the sea, in verse 15, the sea ceased. Then it says here in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. The fish was all waiting. All ready. Can you imagine the destiny of the fish? Talk about the destiny of Jonah and our destinies. The main purpose for that fish to exist was just to swallow Jonah. What a call. Some of us are called to be whales. This, the fish. And God had, I like the phrase where it says, and God, in verse 17, had prepared. Notice the past perfect tense. Had prepared a fish. That talks about predestination. You see, God didn't wait until Jonah was carried forcibly by the people, and then they say, God, be merciful to us. We're going to throw a man that we hope is not innocent. And they throw him down, and as he splashed into the water, and as he's swallowing water and trying to survive, and perhaps usually everywhere there are sharks, to a small degree, right? less or more. So before the sharks come to him, the fish must come and get him. Or before he drowns, the fish must get and come and get him. God doesn't do things last minute. He doesn't wait till Jonah hit the water and then he quickly get a fish, small little fish, go, come on, go, Jonah is there, come on, go. It'd be too late. Although God could instantly create a fish, but when he created something, he goes by his pattern that he has already created. I mean, he could create people out of stones, just like John the Baptist said, but God still goes the normal pattern. He could have created a body for Jesus out of clay and let Jesus come in, but God chose to go through natural yet supernatural area. There was a creative work in Mary's womb, through a creation of God, and yet at the same time he chose it to come out the natural way through the womb. So we realize here that God could have just instantly created a big fish. But here, God, I believe, that God didn't wait till Jonah dropped into the water and then he said, "Fish, be." And then the big fish came. I personally believe that God grew that fish from long ago. One day there was a mama whale. And she was expecting. She didn't know she was expecting Jonah's whale. So from the time that the baby whale was born, God's hand was on that whale. Growing, growing. Until the time comes, the timing is so great. Perhaps when the whale was born, Jonah was not born yet. Perhaps the whale was older than Jonah, we do not know. Whales live very long. And God had prepared. And so one day, the whale knew the destiny of God. The whale knew that it was chosen by God. It had a call of God. I mean, not all whales have prophetic calls. That was a chosen whale. One day as the whale was swimming in the ocean, growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the Lord said, "Grow bigger, eat well." The whale said, "What for?" God said, "I got a special purpose for you. Your stomach is the most important thing." And the whale grew bigger and bigger. And God says, "I want it big enough to contain a man, keep him alive." And the whale was chosen by God. And one day God must have directed the whale. Say, "Whale, I want you to go now to the ship. Keep hidden, don't frighten them." And only when Jonah splashed into the water, the whale came out. And that was the end of Jonah chapter 1. That's called predestination. Some of us don't realize it. God has already prepared your wheels before you were born. God has prepared the strategy to guide you through your weaknesses. You see, Jonah had a weakness. His weakness was his human unforgiveness and hatred against the Assyrians. But because his heart had a love for God and a respect and trust in the mercy of God and the understanding of God, the mercy of God still works. This entire book is about the mercy of God. And we will look at that as we apply this book. It's about the mercy of God. And God would have prepared, even before you and I were born, your destinies. Every detail in your life. How do we move into that destiny? And what will cause us to move out of the destiny? That is what we're going to look at. In chapter 2 comes a central key verse of the entire book. Chapter 2, the prayer of Jonah in a whale. Now don't ask me how he talked in a whale. But he prayed in verse 1 from the whale's belly. I tell you, you can pray from the whale's belly, you can pray from your closet. Believe me, it's better to start praying in a closet than in the whale's belly. At least you don't have the whale's fishy smell. You don't have the gastric juices coming by you once in a while. And all the debris surrounding you. But he prayed. And among the words that he uttered in his prayer, he says in verse 8 and 9, verse 8, the key verse. "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Everyone born onto this planet earth receives the mercy of God. But that mercy will continue operating. There are different degrees of God mercy that we're going to see. That mercy will continue operating until you choose the wrong worship of God. Until you replace the true and living God with another idol. that break God's commandment that say, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. So that mercy continued to operate. You see, the mercy of God is not removed. It is that people forsake and cut off the mercy of God. God is never the one to take away His mercy. The Bible declares in Romans 8, neither height nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things on earth, nor things under the earth can separate us from the love of God. But it is people who choose to separate themselves from the love and the mercy of God. And we will learn how not to do it in this book. Now, of course, we know the other stories are quite clear. We have only touched on the main areas of the story. And as he prayed, apparently Jonah may have fainted. Some even believe that Jonah died and resurrected, although it's not strong enough from the scriptures here. So at the most, he possibly may have fainted. And you see some descriptions that he gave us here. He's in the belly of the whale. And apparently, Jonah himself may not realize that he was in a whale. But as he prayed, this is the reason why people believe that Jonah died. Because in verse 2 he mentioned, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. So to him, this darkness that was in the whale looks like the belly of Sheol. But these are not strong enough to prove that he died. He possibly just fainted. Some scholars think that he died. But as he cried out to God, and he describes the place, it looks more like the belly of the whale than the actual Sheol in verse 3. And the flood surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. So the flood surrounding him means that there's water all around him. And the billows, he hear the breathing of the whale. He said, well, this hell is sure terrible. It's a different hell from what I knew. He hear this breathing sound, the billows. And the waves that come. Possibly he didn't know that he was right in the center of the fish. He may have found out later when he came out. And he says here, in verse 5, the waters encompass even my soul. Then verse 5, the deep enclosed around me, weeds were wrapped around his head. So poor Jonah, you know, he got a lot of background noise while he prayed. The floods came, the billows blowing, the waves moving, the weeds around him, and he's praying, oh Lord God. That is quite a scriptural area to put. And he says, I look toward your holy temple in verse 4. That calls back to the covenant that Solomon made with God. Solomon told God that when any Israelite anywhere had a problem, or when a nation had a problem, if they will turn to your temple and pray and seek your face, please forgive them and answer them. So Jonah is claiming that covenant now. And he's saying, I look towards your temple, although he's probably not sure which direction. But he, in his heart, is saying, I look towards your temple and I cry out to you, Lord, for deliverance. And again, it's mentioned in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, he may have fainted many times, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And God's mercy, as Jonah repented, God turned it out for good. And the whale in chapter 2 brought Jonah out. Jonah landed at Nineveh. As he came out, good landing, right on target. Jonah started preaching. And as he preached, some people think that if it was a whale and it was gastric juices that had been going through, Jonah would have, like what that man gone through in 1891, where there was marks that he has been through, some horrible experience. And as Jonah walked about, can you imagine seeing someone who looks like a ghost?